In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Prayer to Jesus Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 61, the National Catholic Welfare Conference. There's not much to describe in the image. It's just a picture. It looks like a bunch of clerics gathered around a desk. I wasn't sure whether I wanted to skip this or not, but I thought it would be useful for at least historical perspective. Again, I'll remind you that this book was published in 1949, so at that time there was a National Catholic Welfare Conference. There is not one today, so we can take this as a historical lesson, I suppose. Right? What is the National Catholic Welfare Conference? The National Catholic Welfare Conference is an organization of the archbishops and bishops of the United States centered at Washington with the purpose of unifying, coordinating, and organizing the Catholics in works of social welfare, education, and similar activities by means particularly of the press and of existing lay organizations. The NCWC, again the National Catholic Welfare Conference, represents the united influence of the hierarchy on national, social, and civic policies. It provides a remarkable leadership for the promotion of social justice, education, a Catholic press, and coordinated lay action. In a certain sense, the NCWC is the nerve center of the Church in America. The NCWC particularly aims at the participation of the laity in the work of the Church, building up and strengthening the Kingdom of Christ, for surely the laity forms part of the mystical body of Christ. The NCWC is national storehouse, clearinghouse, and powerhouse. To fulfill its purpose, it uses chiefly the press, the radio, conferences, and forums. The National Catholic Welfare Conference does not aim to create new organizations. Its purpose is to help, strengthen, and unify those already existing. The National Catholic Welfare Conference collects information and puts it out in printed form. It gives advice and field service connected with the work of the various divisions. How is the National Catholic Welfare Conference organized? The National Catholic Welfare Conference is organized as follows. 1. Overall is an administrative board of 10 archbishops and bishops, aided by 7 assistant bishops. This board is elected at the annual meeting of the bishops of the country. And it says, see the illustration above. An annual report is made to the Holy See. No official action of the conference as a whole can be taken without authorization from the administrative board. At the annual general meeting of the bishops, the administrative bishops give detailed reports and obtain authorization for their work. There are 8 departments, each under an episcopal chairman. No official action can be taken by any department without the authorization of its chairman. In addition, to deal with special problems arising, certain episcopal committees have been set up, the most important of which are the Committees on American Board of Catholic Missions, Confraternity of Christian Doctrine, Motion Pictures, Propagation of the Faith, Foreign Service, Obscene Literature, Seminaries, Relief and War Emergencies, etc. Summarize the activities and services of the different departments, bureaus, and principal office of the National Catholic Welfare Conference. This is a brief resume. Executive Department. Its head, the General Secretary, not only directs the multiple activities of the different divisions in his department, but also supervises and coordinates the work of the other units of the National Catholic Welfare Conference. He is the Chief Executive Officer of the Conference. Through the General Secretary, the departmental reports and all information about the work of the headquarters staff are regularly sent to the administrative board members. The Immigration Bureau serves as a Catholic immigrant aid organization concerned with the spiritual and temporal welfare of the foreign-born. Its highly trained staff handles technical problems of immigration, emigration, deportation, naturalization, and citizenship. For this reason, it is in continuous contact with the government offices. The National Center of the Confraternity of Christian Doctrine deals with the extension of the knowledge and practice of the Catholic faith among those not enrolled in the system of Catholic schools. It sponsors national and regional congresses, makes surveys, publishes works, etc. The Bureau of Information is the clearinghouse for Catholic information, for newspapers, radio agencies, and other means of public communication. It furnishes people with factual material related to all kinds of Catholic matters in the country. The Publications Office puts out literature, mostly in pamphlet form, prepared by the different units of the National Catholic Welfare Conference. This literature is chiefly intended to give intellectual preparation necessary for the successful participation of the laity in the apostolate of the hierarchy, that is, for Catholic Action. Catholic Action, the monthly official organ of the National Catholic Welfare Conference, records the works of the conference and affiliated groups. Regular features are study club articles intended to promote proper understanding of and participation in practical plans of Catholic life. The Education Department serves the great system of Catholic educational institutions. Its chief activities are to collect data on Catholic education, to furnish information to school officials and the public, to furnish advice regarding programs to Catholic institutions, to safeguard Catholic education interest, to serve as an agency dealing with government educational units. The Press Department promotes the interests of the Catholic press of the United States and provides it with an efficient worldwide news service. The news service is gathered by radio, cable, telegraph, telephone, and mail. It serves, besides our own country, 36 other countries, including Canada and Latin America, with 437 Catholic publications on its list. The Social Action Department concerns itself with the complex social problems of the country, dealing with industrial problems, rural and family life, civic duties, international relations, etc. The present fields of activity are Industrial Relations, Family Life Bureau, Rural Life Bureau, Peace and Post-War Reconstruction, and Parish Credit Unions. The Legal Department serves as a clearinghouse for information on legislative matters affecting Catholic life. It quickly makes such matter available to the different units and dioceses. An important service is concerned with matters needing discussion with federal government officials as well as congressional committees. The Lay Organizations Department consists of two divisions, the National Council of Catholic Men and the National Council of Catholic Women. These councils coordinate and promote the activities of all lay organizations. It must be remembered that the National Catholic Welfare Conference does not aim to establish another society. Through these councils, all existing organizations can get their proper place and part in the work of Catholic Action. At present, 2,195 organizations are affiliated with the Council of Men. The Youth Department supervises Catholic youth work and promotes the National Youth Council as the coordinating agency for all existing and approved youth groups. The National Youth Council does the work for the youth that the National Councils of Catholic Men and of Catholic Women do for adults. The Department of Catholic Action Study devotes itself to research and reports regarding pronouncements of the Holy See and accomplishments of the work of Catholic Action at home and abroad. And again, this book was written in 1949. I do think it's rather a shame. Well, you have a whole different...
I don't know if anybody else does.
But. Sister's book has a different... has a diagram in it of the National Catholic Welfare Conference and breakdown of all its departments and boards. I won't go into that now. It's not in my book, but it is an interesting breakdown showing you in a diagram form how the organizations are all connected and how it is set up there. Okay. I was saying there that what we really do need something along this line. I don't know why this was discontinued or what happened that we do no longer have a Catholic organization who is reviewing movies, television programs, giving Catholic ratings to these things. I realize that we do have, at least here in the United States, our own rating standards or whatever you want to call them. I'm quite baffled by them. You know, I get on my phone there quite a few advertisements for Disney's this new movie of, was it The Mermaid? Little Mermaid put out by Disney, but I am shocked that it's a PG movie. How is this for children? And why would this be promoted as Walt Disney? I guess Walt Disney doesn't have the reputation that I think it has of being for children, innocent, G-rated content, but I guess it is not, and I don't know, you know, why adults would want to watch The Little Mermaid. And of course, as I said before, I'm a little disconnected with how all this rating works and what it all means, but I assume that PG means parental guidance, and so there's something scandalous in this movie that requires parents to watch it first or to be there to, explain things to their children or to remove, you know, muted or fast forward through parts that they don't want their children to be exposed to. I don't know where, you know, the Catholics, of course, with the destruction of the Catholic Church in Vatican II, it seems to me that I guess this too can fall by the wayside. But it seems to me there is really a lack of Catholics standing up and saying, rating these shows and saying Catholics should not see this, we should not support that. Not only movies and television shows and programs, but even now internet content, it seems, should have some kind of Catholic rating. Or at least, you know, the Catholic organizations that have been approved should have some kind of symbol to say, we are approved by the Catholic Church or this organizational body, and the Catholic Church has reviewed our content and we have met their standards, and therefore we can proudly promote this seal or ask your support because we are working for your spiritual welfare or keeping your spiritual welfare in mind at this time. It seems, as I look out in the world and my cell phone, the internet, the television, all these things seem to have just disappeared. And we're thrown into the dark, and Catholics are really left to fend for themselves. What is the rating of this or that, and what does that rating mean? Should I watch this or should I not watch this? Is this going to be harmful or detrimental to my soul or the souls of my children if I allow them to watch? There is really a need, I think, for this type of review. And you know, not only that, but the books. I don't know if children read books anymore, but even adults need their books to be okayed or approved by some Catholic authority who is looking out for the welfare of their souls. I don't know what else to say. Do we have any questions or comments?
I'm just curious. I guess with newer books, do they even have an imprimatur anymore?
I don't know. I have seen alleged Catholic books without imprimaturs, yes. So I don't know if they're concerned about that or whether they still do that. I don't know, but I'm usually looking for old books and imprimaturs that are prior to Vatican II. So,
right.
I'm not really sure what the modern books have, but, you know, on the internet, I haven't yet to see someone say, you know, this website or this content has been reviewed and approved by this bishop or this conference or that conference. You know, we have EWTN, everybody assumes is a Catholic organization and has the approval, but I don't know that it, you know, has a approval or a review or anything of that line. Are they, you know, they're just given free rein and the bishops trust them, or how that operates? Really, the boundaries have been torn down. It used to be the bishops had their diocese and they were have their Catholic newspaper magazines within the diocese, and the bishop would keep an eye on those things there. But with the internet, we're crossing not only diocesan boundaries, we're crossing state boundaries, national boundaries. We are really international on the internet, and I don't know, you know, what mechanism could even be employed in this situation. It's really an ungovernable monster, what we have with anyone can say anything on the internet, and it can be promoted and spread everywhere, true or false, helpful to our morality or harmful to our morality. There seems to be this complete indifference. And where are Catholics safe to turn? I don't know. Where are children safe to turn? I don't know what to tell parents, other than take it away, as keep your children away from the internet as long as possible, as far as possible. And I am not really concerned about them falling behind their peers or being Luddites. They will catch on very quickly when, as soon as you put something in their hand, they learn quickly. They catch on much faster than older people, so I am not really concerned that your children are going to be left out or left behind are deprived if they don't have their own personal little screen. I think they would be much better off if they had their own personal little book. And they could read a book or keep a journal or do something other than have a screen in front of them 24/7. I don't have the authority or the power, much less would I even know where to begin if I did. You know, they say, if you got to be president for the day, what would you do? I say, well, if I were in charge of the entire church for the day and were able to bring everyone back, you know, where would you start in regulating this monster that we have of all the different forms of media and publications, movies, films, all these things are out there. I am quite concerned with the pornography that's on the internet, because I know a lot of people, and through confession and seeking counsel and advice, this is a struggle for a lot of people, and it pops up everywhere. You can't have a phone, you can't have a computer, anything that's connected to the internet is fair game for the demonic elements in our society to attack us. And yes, you can get software that blocks it, but as I point out to many parents, the children are not stupid that you have blocking software. and they just do a Google search of how to bypass that software, and the next thing you know, they are circumventing all your software, all your efforts, whatever you're doing. There are hacks out there that they can find quicker than you can counteract them. And so we're always going to be a step behind the new generation of children coming in. And the answer, I think, is to prepare them for this battle, to let them know that this is going to be a battle and they're going to have to be ready to fight. And we can't protect them forever. We ran into that with a lot of homeschoolers. Our children are isolated. They don't have friends. They don't have the social network and all of this. And I say, well, how much is that worth? Is that social network and friends worth the salvation of your soul? Are they your children's soul? What is it worth? But now the homeschoolers have all of this really at their fingertips as well. They have access to the internet. It is a wonderful research tool, helpful for study and learning. There's great advantages, but there are tremendous disadvantages, which we must be aware of. And as I say, I don't have the answer, but I do know it is a problem, and I think there is, should be some work done in this area where we have the time and the resources to do so. Enough of my rambling. Anybody else have a question? Okay, then we will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.